Welcome to the first Sunday after Christmas, or the sixth day of Christmas, if you're singing the carol. This is a day of celebration. I figure any service that ends with joy to the world has to be a day of celebration. And there is much to celebrate. I want to invite you to grab your bulletin if it's nearby, and just I'm going to look briefly at each of these texts for a moment, just to remind us of some of the things we're celebrating today. Both the Isaiah text and the psalm begin with this declaration of praise, this declaration of celebration. So as you look at that first line of the Isaiah text, it says, and read that first sentence together with me, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. Amen. Our whole beings exulting in God. And then if we go to the psalm, you don't actually get the first verse of the psalm because we only do the last few verses. So I'm going to tell you what the first verse of the psalm says. Psalm 147, verse 1 says, Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor him with praise. And it goes on with about 16 more verses that we didn't sing of ways that we honor and give praise and the things for which we give praise and thanks to God. It's interesting that the verses they chose to include were the ones that talk about snow and frost and hail, and we ask, who can stand against his cold? Well, it's challenging sometimes. But then it goes on with the real good news is that he sends forth his word and it melts them. So we can give thanks to God for spring. There are things for which we give thanks, but if you look closely at some of those verses that I didn't read, some of the things that we are giving thanks and praise for, at least in these texts, are very difficult things. For example, in the Isaiah text, one of the things they're giving thanks for is the vindication that hasn't come yet. They're trusting that that is going to come, so they're going to give thanks to God for that, but they're still suffering. They're still in captivity. They're not free yet, even though they're giving thanks. So when we think about giving thanks and praise to God and celebrating this gift of Christmas, it's not just giving thanks for all the good things that happen in our lives. It's also finding ways to give thanks for the good things that haven't happened yet, in the midst of the suffering that is still going on, in the midst of the pain that we might be feeling. Our biblical texts remind us to give thanks to God even in the midst of those things, because the time will come when we will feel that praise and give thanks. So, Galatians and John both speak about Christmas, and in a very interesting way. If you look at the Galatians text toward the end, it says, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And if a child, then also we are heirs through God. That's the promise, that's the good news of Christmas. Christ came so that we might become like Christ. This child of God came so that we might be adopted as fellow children of God. John reiterates the same thing. If you look at the John text towards the end, it says, And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. To all who received him, skipping a little bit, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Before Christ came, we were not children of God in the same sense that we are in the light of Christmas, in response to Christmas. And it's a kind of a big deal to be considered a child of God, to be a joint heir with Christ in all that God gives through Christ our Lord. Well, that's a lot of churchy language, theological kind of dialogue about the texts, I suppose, and it would actually be really fun to dig into John, the prologue, because there's so much rich stuff there. I invite you to read that more closely if you have an opportunity. But it's this coming of God into the world in Christ that we celebrate at Christmas, and it's this change in humanity's relationship with God that we celebrate. We are beloved children of God. In Advent, we invited you to try the spiritual practice of the examen, which is a fancy word for examine, I think. It means to reflect on your day, to reflect on your week, or as we're so close now to New Year's, perhaps to reflect on the year that has gone by. And to look for God in the midst of your days and your weeks and your years. To be mindful of the journey of your own life and to celebrate God's gift of life in the midst of whatever is happening. And I know there are many things that are happening in our lives that are challenging, for which we may not necessarily give thanks. In fact, I've had several conversations already this morning for whom Christmas was a very challenging time for a variety of reasons. And I might add that my family is one of those families that has had a challenging Christmas. But the passages that we read today celebrate and they reflect on what God has done. It's almost like these biblical passages in the Bible are a sort of an examen in themselves. They say we praise God because these are the things that God has done in our lives. And it gives that list. It's interesting because examen almost always yields praise. Because when you see what God is doing, it is something for which you give thanks. There's a beautiful text in Romans 8 that I prefer the translation of, "In all things God works for good." So no matter what's happening in life, we look to see where God is working for good in the midst of that. Well, I've been doing my own little examen over the last week or so. Lisa and Alexis and I missed being with you for Christmas this year because we were going to South Dakota to celebrate with my family. And it was expected that this might be the last Christmas gathered in my parents' home, where we've had Christmas every year forever. But they're 83 now and needing to think about what's next for them. So we thought we'll have our last hurrah, the Christmas in my parents' home. And we were driving that direction when we got the phone call saying that my mom had slipped on a wet step outside and fallen and hit her head and broken her shoulder and her leg. So she was life-flighted to Bismarck Hospital. So we were headed that direction already, so instead of going all the way across the state to Buffalo, South Dakota, we stopped at the Bismarck Hospital and spent our Christmas vacation with our family in the Bismarck Hospital and the Radisson Hotel across the street. It's interesting to reflect back on that experience, and I won't give you all the gory details of surgery and she's healing. It's a little more complicated because she's having some memory challenges. So every day she was asking, "Why can't I move my leg? And why can't I move my arm? Why is it?" So we had to tell her every day, "Well, you fell, and you broke your leg, and you broke your arm." So that it makes it a little more challenging. But anyway, I'm telling you more than I intended to tell you. If you want to know more, you can talk to any one of us. We all have stories to tell. But I've reflected on this last week, this experience, through the lens of examen. I've looked at it asking the questions, where was God in this? What was God up to in the midst of this? What do I learn from this? What do I take forward from this? And even though it seems like a very tragic event, and it was, my mom is still in the hospital and she will have several months of rehab and transitional care and those kinds of things. Even though it's a very tragic Christmas, it was also a very blessed Christmas. It was actually kind of convenient that it happened at Christmas time because our entire family, children, grandchildren, and even a grandchild's girlfriend were coming. And we all gathered together, and we were there to give support and to support one another and to take turns spending all night with her in the hospital and doing all those things that family does when you're gathered around someone. So that was something to celebrate, to give thanks for. We celebrated my mom's 83rd birthday on December 23rd. I'm not sure she had as much fun as we did. We got to eat the cake. She didn't. But we still celebrated with her. and then Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The hotel was very gracious. They gave us a banquet room where we could have our Christmas dinner. Mom couldn't come, but the rest of us could enjoy Christmas dinner. And then they gave us a larger hospital room because there's not a lot of people that want to be there over Christmas, only the ones that have to. So they gave us a double room, and we could all just kind of hang out, all 16 of us or whatever, with my mom. And that was a blessing. So there are many things for which we give thanks. For the neighbors and the medical staff that took care of her. For family who we've actually grown closer together by sharing this experience over Christmas with one another. And rising to the occasion and taking turns spending the night with her and all that. And then for mom and dad and for what we're learning from them. And if I make it through this part without crying, I'm already crying. Never mind. So, the things we learned from them. Lisa and Alexis and I saw Les Miserables last night. It's an incredible production. It's an incredible play. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to get down to the Orpheum and see it. But I had my parents in mind last night as I was hearing those songs. Get it together. One of the songs is beautiful, is One Day More. And I thought about my mom and the challenges of each day. The physical therapy, the diminishing memory, but also diminishing pain, the gradual healing. But for her, it's all just going to be one day more. But she has incredible instincts to survive. Even when she doesn't really understand what's going on, she has, maybe it's the stubborn Norwegian in her, I'm not sure, but she has these incredible instincts to do what needs to be done, even when she doesn't understand it. So she has this innate strength, but as the song says, it's strength to carry on one day more. Then one of the last lines in the whole play, which I cry at, even when it's not a reason to cry, it's just one of those lines that gets me. It's one of the most powerful moments at the end of the play. It's sung by three of the characters in perfect unison, a cappella. They sing. I was going to sing it for you, but I don't think so. I'm going to try and say it. The line is, to love another person is to see the face of God. Did you hear that? To love another person is to see the face of God. Sorry. I can't believe, begin to describe the ways that my father has cared for my mother in these trying days. And if I try to, I'll cry even more. So talk to Lisa and Alexis, and they can tell the story maybe without crying. But there have been moments I will never forget. He has shown his children and his grandchildren how to love another person. And in his love, I have seen the face of God. So, this tragic Christmas for my family has become one of our most blessed times together. And for that, we praise God. For healing, we praise God. For strength to carry on one day more, we praise God. For your prayers and your notes of comfort and support, we praise God. For what God has done and for what God is doing in our lives, we praise God. The spiritual practice of examen, of reflecting, of seeing God, of giving thanks and praise, even in the midst of trying circumstances, has shaped my experience of this family Christmas. I invite you to the same spiritual habit. that as we move into a new year, reflect on 2018. Write your own psalm, Psalm 2018. I thought about doing that, but maybe I still will. That begins with praise of God and then goes on to list what it is you're praising God for in this year. Begins with hallelujah. It recounts what God has done. Or if you don't want to write a psalm, just reflect. Look for God. See where God has been in this year. And look ahead to 2019, imagining what God might do in and through our lives. I'm imagining what is going to be going on in the next few months with my dad and mom, and I know it's going to be challenging, but I suspect they're going to get through it with God's help. So now I invite you to a moment of silence while I get myself together. And I invite you to begin a time of reflection with the word hallelujah. And as you think hallelujah, I want you to listen for what comes to your mind for which you might give thanks and praise to God. Merry Christmas and amen.